DavidRenicky.com. I love chatting to this guy because he knows what's happening outside the smoky haze we see beside our windows. Hello, David. Are you okay where you are, mate?
Wouldn't be anywhere else, Bilkin. A lot of smoke here.
You okay, though?
Yeah, we're okay. It's just, I mean, they're renaming the area Little Beijing.
Of course, yeah, with their pollution, that's incredible out that way.
No, it's a lot of smoke here, and we're on the mid-north coast, New South Wales.
Yeah.
Been like this for a couple of weeks now. It's very strange to have these go for so long, and sad to know that a half a dozen of them have been lit by, I can only call them nitwits.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny, we got all this rain over the weekend that we hoped would get to you, but ended up causing hail damage, so I've had insurance assessors out trying to do bits and pieces. So we're all in disaster mode, David. So
weather's gone wacky, mate.
I know, but and yeah, they call it climate change. I know it's something else. All right, let's talk about this. Is the weirdest story I've come across. The UN is appointing a space ambassador to greet aliens. Is this a furphy? What's this?
What's strange about that?
Well, look, I haven't seen any aliens yet. If we had some, it'd make a difference, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine going to work and opening your office and sitting there in your chair? And your only job is to wait for an alien to contact you so you could play out your role as the officer in charge of outer space affairs.
If it's paying $250K a year, I'm there.
Well, it could be a lot of money involved, don't it? But it'd be a very boring sort of a job. Look, when E.T. does finally drop by here and he says, take me to your leader, that leader's going to be Maslan Othman, 58, Malaysian astrophysicist. Given the task of coordinating humanity's response if and when ET makes contact. Now, this is an Office of Outer Space Affairs that's been organised through the United Nations, and it's a real thing. Because in the past few decades, well, in the last 10 years, we've found hundreds of planets orbiting other stars out there. And the possibility or the probability of finding someone out there is getting good. The continued search for ET means that one day we may pick a signal up. Now, the rationale here is let's not jump to conclusions and answer it straight away. And if we do, whose job is it to do that? Well, the United Nations have made a decree that no one person, no group, no collective, no government, no one can make that signal decision on their own, not single signal decision on their own. And what they've said here is it should go through an august body of people, in other words, scientists, humanitarians, gosh knows what else.
I just want to know who's funding the thing.
Well, it's the United Nations. I don't know who funds
it. It's all the countries. I know we'll all put in $10 a week or something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, it's not her only job. So that'd be part of what she do. But they do have an official status, and it is a real thing. Because, we've got a bubble going out there now. It's a huge radio bubble emanating from Earth in all directions. Been out there, it's probably 100 light years wide. Because over the last 100 years, we've had technology enough to allow us to be audible, not visible, audible to the outside universe. Now, if anyone's out there, they're listening to us now, and there's a good chance they could send a message back here. So the idea is that the message would be put together collectively, a whole group of people putting their ideas down and having a strictly worded reply to be sent out to whoever sends the signal. The only trick here is if it's from 1,000 light years away, it's going to take 1,000 years to get there.
Yeah, and I'm sure this Maslan Othman will have to pass down the job. Will have to move it on in perpetuity to either her family, or they'll keep electing someone.
Well,
or whatever.
She'd be the coordinator. This would be the message. The message would be put together by the United Nations on behalf of the whole Earth. Because you can imagine some really radical somewhere sending a message back, don't come here, this is a real crazy place, I'll kill you. We don't want that. But we've got to remember the words of Stephen Hawking way before he passed by and gone on. He said the outcome for us would be pretty dire. He said that warning aliens that we're here should be treated with caution. And he gave the example of when Christopher Columbus landed in America. And he said it didn't turn out very well for the Native Americans. There's a bit of rationale in that. But anyway, the Office of Outer Space Affairs is official, and there is someone running it who is the leader.
Hey, speaking about messages, apparently we have an interstellar message emanating from Australia. I never knew this. There's a story behind it.
Yeah, Australia's first message. Look, it's sent out here from transmitted live from Melbourne, Sydney, Meyer Music Bowl.
What? It wasn't our Carols by Candlelight, was it?
No, 2008. It's been over 10 years now. It's a goodwill message. It's halfway to its journey. And that journey is to a star system called Gliese 581, a super Earth. It's a planet around a star, Gliese system, around 20 light years from here. It's in the habitable zone. It could have people on it, could have oceans. It's called Hello Earth, is what the project is. And it began as a science communication campaign for National Science Week.
Right, right.
Little message from Sophie Longmont. She said, I'm just one of almost 26,000 who sent this out from Australia to an Earth-like planet 20 light years away. Greetings from a girl on Earth who every so often looks at the night sky and waves hello in the hope that someone on another planet is doing the same.
Sensible message.
Little lady by the name of Tasman from Richmond in Australia. She said, if you come to Earth, look into music, the beach, ice cream, hugs, family, books, dreams, trampolines, just for a start.
How good is it that a child is sending the message? See, they're so innocent and their message is so pure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. There's nothing antagonistic in that, but it's halfway there now. It'll get there in another 10 years. So if there's a civilization on that planet and it's got every indication that it could have life, they will pick that message up. They can decode it. They can send it back here. It's going to take another 10 years. So by the time you get your gold watch and radio and you retire, we might have an answer.
We might have a bronzed alien to greet a bronzed Aussie. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Go through the United Nations and they'll do it. Yeah.
We've talked about this before, David. There is a black hole in the middle of the Milky Way and already there's been a victim of its power.
Yes. We've seen a star being kicked out of the centre of our Milky Way. It's a star speeding through space at about 3,700 miles an hour. No, 3,700,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about 5 million K in an hour. And in 100 million years, it'll leave the Milky Way for good. That's how long things take to happen. So where did it come from? Well, it got kicked out of the centre of our galaxy. And that's about 30,000 light years from here. Maybe by the black hole. Now, the black hole's got a lot of gravity. It's spinning. Maybe about 4 or 5 million years ago, it picked a star up, and that may have been part of a binary system, double star, more than likely was. And the gravity has ripped one of the stars from the black hole's gravity has ripped one of those stars and flung it out into space there. Now, this work's been done at Siding Spring Observatory here in New South Wales in the Warrumbungles. And the star, we tracked the star back to its journey, back to where it started from. So we can backtrack, we know the direction it's moving, and how fast it's moving, so we can backtrack and do that. It's travelling 10 times faster than anything we've ever seen in the Milky Way. So it's a hypervelocity star, that's what they call it. Hyper means way above, and it's on its way out somewhere else. So stars can swap galaxies and change places.
Well, I never knew that. Yeah, we can learn something there. I never knew that.
It's how light's transmitted, I think, throughout the universe.
All right, all good. All that on the davidrenicky.com website. Have a look at those stories linked up now at our Facebook page. And, David, thank you so much for braving the smoke and breathing through all that for us, mate.
My pleasure. We'll catch you next week.